We've entitled this series, The Spirit of Christmas. When you think about that phrase, what comes to your mind? When you think about the phrase, the Spirit of Christmas, what comes to your mind? You probably think about maybe the Virgin Mary pregnant with baby Jesus. Maybe you think about the wise men traveling on camelback with a star guiding them to where Jesus was laying. Maybe that's what you think about when you think about the Spirit of Christmas. You want to know what I think about when I think about the Spirit of Christmas? I think about little Ralphie with his Red Ryder BB gun being warned that he'll shoot his eye out. I think about the Grinch who can't stand to hear the excitement from the jubilation. I think about Kevin McAllister and the classic phrase, when he gets in trouble, you know, he's getting in trouble there in the beginning. His mom sends him upstairs to the attic to sleep by himself for that night. And she sends him upstairs and he walks up to the stairs. You know that classic phrase? He yells at her and he says, "When I grow up and get married, I'm living alone." Classic. I think about the Polar Express. Like, Tom Hanks is now a part of my Christmas tradition, you know, every year. Think about the movie, The Polar Express, with the little boy gets to the end and he has that ornament and he shakes it. And the two words that he is compelled to express, the words of, "I believe." He says, "I believe." We think about all these things and they remind us every year, right, of their majestic and fun finales. But very rarely do we think about and consider the character and person of Joseph as one of the MVPs of the Christmas narrative. May I suggest to you, without Joseph, would we even have the Spirit of Christmas? Without Joseph, would we have the birth of Jesus? What's interesting to me is that there's no record of Joseph speaking in the gospel narrative. There's no record of him saying anything, right? Typical guy. Just kind of calm, cool, laid back. Doesn't really say much. Man of few words. Joseph doesn't speak in the Christmas narrative, but his actions do. His actions surely do. Joseph's life shows us what faith and obedience to God looks like. You've heard this phrase, maybe. Preach the gospel and, if necessary, use words. And I think Joseph's life is the personification of that phrase. Our passage today helps us see that Joseph doesn't just obey God. He was generously obedient to the voice of the Lord. In other words, there was a readiness in Joseph's life to give more of himself, his time, his energy, and not for his own benefit, but for the benefit of Mary and Jesus. And I think today we can learn. You and I can learn. You and I can benefit. We can grow in our faith, not only by remembering Joseph in this season, but by modeling our life after his. We have three main characters that set the stage in our text. One is the angel of the Lord, then you have Joseph, and then you have King Herod. And so for context, Matthew's gospel was written with primarily a Jewish person or Jewish audience in mind. One of the major themes carried throughout the entire gospel of Matthew is the theme of fulfillment. Matthew wants his readers to know and understand that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the fulfillment of the law and the Old Testament prophecies. He achieved it. He completed it perfectly. There's a lot of Old Testament prophecies kind of wrapped up in our passage today. 13 times throughout Matthew's entire gospel, 13 times, he uses the phrase, "in order to fulfill." In order to fulfill. So let's jump back into our passage 2, verse 13. "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.' And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod." This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet out of Egypt. I called my son. You can begin to see that fulfillment is the goal. Matthew's end goal here is fulfillment. However, do you recognize the path to fulfillment? Do you recognize the path to fulfillment? God says, hey, Joseph, wake up. Here's the plan. You're going to get up. You're going to take your pregnant wife and travel by night to Egypt. That's crazy. It's crazy. To give you a heads up, Jews and Egyptians were not fond of each other. You guys ever seen The Prince of Egypt? That'll give you some background and some context. They were not friends. There was bad blood. There was bad history there. They were rivals. They were enemies. Let me give it to you this way. It would be like if you lived in San Antonio and you were not a UTSA Roadrunner fan. Birds up, baby. Shout out to the Conference USA champions. That's our community right there in our backyard. Really proud of those guys. Any other allegiance will make you a rival. Any other allegiance. And Joseph recognizes that his dream is the voice of God speaking to him. And in obedience, he takes his family to Egypt and he lives there. He lives there. It's kind of like the Christian life. It's kind of like a life following Jesus. Sometimes it just doesn't always add up. And we say this all the time. We want to be disciples, we make disciples by guiding all people to follow Jesus moment by moment, and following Jesus moment by moment sometimes leads us into places that we do not want to go. And maybe you're in here today and you're like, I'm not even a Christian. I'm not a believer. I want you to know following Jesus does not equal no pain in your life. It does not equal that everything is just peaches and cream once you start following him or once you put your faith and trust in him. However, following Jesus does guarantee that you will never go through any pain or hardship in this life ever alone again. He will be with you. And maybe you're in a season of Egypt. Maybe you're in a hard place. Maybe it's a hard season of following Jesus. Maybe it's a hard time for you right now to truly trust God. Maybe you're saying, God, I am so depressed right now. God, I've been depressed for so long. Why? God, we promised that we would never divorce. Why are we going through this right now? God, I've got no job and my bills keep stacking up. God, why? College graduation is here and I have no plans for my future. I have no idea what I'm going to do with my life. Maybe you've got a prodigal son. Maybe you have a prodigal daughter. And you feel like you are just so torn from them. There's no relationship. Could it be that God has led you into this season in order to fulfill a deeper trust and dependence on him? Could it be that he's led you to this place? He's led you in this season so that he can draw you closer and closer to himself. Joseph was learning that the prophets and the prophecies, they weren't the goal. Rather, the fulfillment of those prophecies was the goal. See, generous obedience, giving of yourself, trusting God, truly following him and his ways. Generous obedience says Christ is the goal. Nothing else. Nothing else. Not what you get from it. Not the gifts, but the giver of the gifts. Christ is the goal. And take heart in not just the prophecy, but the promise. Matthew 2:15. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt, I called my son. Out of Egypt, I called my son. God will call you out of whatever Egypt you're in. He will call you out of whatever Egypt you're in. God has promised to walk alongside you and lead you out of whatever struggle you're facing. God loves nothing more than a triumphant son and a triumphant daughter. He loves nothing more. Why? Because our trials become triumphs that testify of God's power and grace, ultimately glorifying him. Our trials become triumphs that ultimately we testify of his goodness and his grace in our life. Christ is the goal. He's the goal. It goes on to say, then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise man, became furious. And he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all the region who were 2 years old or younger, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. Most scholars and theologians describe Herod as a ruler who was burdened with extreme paranoia. Extreme paranoia. He is remembered for his killing and bloodshed. His paranoia manifested itself as pride throughout his reign. And you can read the conversation between Herod and the wise man just a few verses earlier in chapter 2. And what you'll find is that Herod had great faith in Jesus. Herod had great faith in the prophecies that were to be fulfilled by this baby. However, Herod's faith didn't lead to obedience. His faith led to prejudice, arrogance, and pride. It led to the murder of some 24 toddler boys. Extreme evil. Extreme evil. And utter darkness. But here's the craziest thing. While Herod believed he was canceling God and his plans for the world, he was in fact aiding in the fulfillment of the prophecies that were pointing to the proof of Jesus Christ, the Messiah King. God uses all things for his good. His own pride exposed the world to see that there is no and will never be a king like the King of Kings. His own pride exposed himself. Consider God's character and nature described by the psalmist. Psalm 145, verse 8, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. A real king is just, a real king is merciful, a real king is kind and long-suffering, a real king is gracious and forgiving, a real king serves and gives, a real king makes sacrifices for the benefit of the people he leads. This is King Jesus, the personification and embodiment of a perfect ruler. You don't need to look to anywhere else for perfection in leadership, for perfection in rule. Just look to Jesus. So here's what you need to know. Obedience may lead you up against some Herods. Obedience may lead you up against some Herods. And are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to sacrifice your own desires and wants for the advancement of the king, his kingdom, and his plan? You see, Joseph's sacrificial lifestyle revealed what he loved most. The sacrifices he made revealed what he cared about most and what he loved most. He generously served God faithfully. Herod lied and betrayed. Joseph faithfully obeyed. And Joseph's obedience, it didn't just protect his own life, but it also protected his family. So parents, if you're a parent in here this morning, I want you to hear this. Your generous obedience to God will not only impact your life, but it will also impact the calling and plans of God for your own children. your obedience to the King, to the true King, your obedience to Jesus doesn't just impact your life, but it impacts the calling and the plans for your children. Your faith in Christ, the choices, the decisions that you make, it prepares your kids for their future in Christ. It does. It prepares them. And let me tell you, there's a spirit of Herod attacking our generation today. There's a spirit of Herod attacking the next generation. So now more than ever, we need Josephs and we need Marys to rise up and faithfully disciple our kids into an authentic relationship with Jesus. I think this side heard me right here. Now more than ever, we need Josephs and Marys to rise up and faithfully disciple our kids into an authentic relationship with Jesus. Amen. Amen. Parents, you're the primary disciple makers of your sons and daughters. And let me tell you this, God will give you the grace. God will give you the grace. Maybe you're a single mom in here. God will give you the grace. Maybe you're a single dad, parenting, trying to juggle everything. God will give you the grace. And God will give you the wisdom as you listen for his voice, as you listen for his leading, and as you trust him just as Joseph did. Matthew 2 verse 19 says this, "But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead.' And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene." So you can see the pattern in our passage this morning. There's opposition, attack. There's God speaking and guiding. And there's Joseph's faith and obedience, ultimately leading to God's fulfillment. And so you see this idea of, okay, Herod's dead and everyone's going, yay. And then, oh wait, here comes his son who's just as cruel and just as evil. And I think there's some truth for us to get even from that this morning, that on this side of heaven, there will always be lovers of evil and there will always be opposition to Christ. We'll always have that. And it's important for us as believers to keep the faith. It's important for us as disciples of Christ to keep the faith. The Christian life is not a sprint, but a marathon. Listen to the writer of Hebrews. It says, "Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. Never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again. Go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls." I love the way Eugene Peterson translates this passage. Start running. Never quit. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Study how he did it. He never lost sight of where he was headed. Christ finished the work. In other words, Matthew would tell us, Christ fulfilled the work. And here's our part. go over that story again and again. Go over that story again and again. As many times as you watch Home Alone this season, recall and rehearse the good news of Jesus, the good news of the gospel, the truths of old are still active and alive and relevant now in our day more than ever. Jesus is still alive. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and he is ruling and reigning today. That's good news, church. That's good news. Go over that story again and again. And that's the Christian life. That's the Christian life. It's a constant rehearsal of remembering God's faithfulness in our world and in our lives. So I asked you at the beginning of this message, when you think about the spirit of Christmas, what comes to your mind? And my hope and my desire is that the spirit of Christmas leads you to obediently trust in God's radical generosity towards you and I. That giving and generosity is a fundamental element of our faith. And this includes Christmas. Do you know what the Joseph's name means? Even in his name, it means God will give. God will give. We can see the spirit of Christmas even in the meaning of his name. As God gave, Joseph gave. And that ultimately led to the fulfillment of God making himself most known through the birth and life of our Savior, Jesus. So here's my question for you this morning, or questions. Where do you need to take steps towards Christ in your life right now? Where have you lacked faith in his faithfulness? What actions or choices have exposed pride in you rather than humble, generous obedience? And again, are you in a season of Egypt right now? Maybe you're in the fight of your life. Maybe you don't know where to go. Maybe you don't know who to turn to. And you're just facing the fight of your life. Joseph was. And let me tell you, he didn't choose it. He didn't raise his hand and say, I want to do that. I want to be baby Jesus's stepdad. He didn't ask for it, but he was chosen by God to carry out this particular assignment. And God gave him everything he needed. So let me assure you this morning, God will give you everything you need. God will give you whatever you need. He gave Joseph to pregnant Mary. He gave Jesus for the sins of the world. And he's enough for whatever it is that you're facing. Say, Sam, how do we fight? How do I fight? How do I face this? Listen to the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Look at what is before your eyes. If anyone is confident that he is Christ, let him remind himself that just as he is Christ, so also are we. Amen, church? Christ is the goal. And it's not obedience for the sake of obedience. Don't leave here and go, man, I gotta muster up all the obedience now. I want you to leave here and go, God is enough. Jesus is enough. And if I can just trust him more, if I can take steps towards him, I know he will give me everything I need to make it through the season I'm in right now.